Talking to Toni Tresidder, and she is a community worker we've actually spoken to in the past on this particular show. Many schools were closing 2 days earlier than scheduled. We took a call from Toni at that time. She's from Tandanani, an organization that's based in Valgelegen, which collects food and distributes it to the homeless. She happened to be seeking food donations at that time, just because it's the source of a lot of drives for local schools such as Edgemead Primary and the like. But she also is a community worker in a range of fields, actually. She does a lot more than just collecting food from the schools. Not that that is any small feat. So she went yesterday to Strandfontein to take food to the homeless people who had been relocated there because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Toni, welcome back to Breakfast with Refilwe. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for getting in touch with us to let us know what you saw. Tell me, which of the homeless were actually relocated to Strandfontein again?
Well, I was only really trying to find my 65 homeless from Botezug that I've been looking after for the last 4 years. They
right.
went off in two shifts. One was 2 days ago and one 3 days ago. They started rounding them up, and I met with law enforcement and SAPS in the parking lot of ShopRite Botezug to be told all the wonderful things that were going to happen for them when they got to what sounded like a fancy resort out in Strandfontein, 3 square meals a day, and I quote the senior law enforcement gentleman, all COVID tested, screened, meds for the guys that have substance abuse problems, mattresses, enough food, as I said before. It all sounded absolutely fine.
Indeed.
Sounded fine. They got in the bus. They asked me to please get the people into the bus. So I asked them to get into the bus, and off they went. The next day, they came back to round up the others that they couldn't find. What I must mention is
yes.
that we had 35 on the first bus.
Okay.
There was more SAPS and law enforcement than there were homeless. The
wow.
whole parking lot looked like it was a war zone there with the amount of firepower in there. So that was a bit disturbing. You know, we didn't need that amount of law enforcement.
Yes.
I must also mention that SAPS have been extremely kind with these guys right through this period. And so
they've
I
been
have
kind.
Been
Good.
Very, very kind. We have a fantastic SAPS in Botezug.
So was it just intimidating to see the numbers, is that it?
The numbers plus law enforcement has, of course, been harassing them almost right up to the lockdown, still with fines for in contempt of court. You know, there's a Supreme Court order that they can't fine, harass or confiscate, but they still are doing so. I've got quite a big pile of fines, actually, and the fines went up from 300 Rand to 500 Rand just before lockdown. They were still being fined.
Those bylaw ones?
Yeah, yeah.
Flip.
I mean, and that's in contempt of court, actually. The court order...
But this is a waste of court resources, especially in a time
yes.
like this.
Yeah. No, they take everything from these guys. I mean, I've got video footage of it, and
yes.
It's shocking. Anyhow, so they went out there, and I personally, with my experience of law enforcement over the last couple of years, did not believe that half of the stuff I was being told at the bus. So I decided to go out myself, not for 1 minute thinking they would let me in, because I knew that they were not letting anybody in.
Yes.
Press, SAPS are not allowed to go in there.
Mm.
They would not allow SAPS to transfer people in there. So I thought, let me just go with food and wing it, you know, just
yeah.
see. And I got to the gate. We were a couple of cars in front of me. SAPS vehicle in front of me would not let those four SAPS in with the guys
sure.
that they had in the back. We were very adamant the SAPS couldn't come in, and I thought, okay, this is it. I won't get in.
Yes.
And she came and asked me what I was doing, and I've got a combi. So I had food all over the back seat. So I said, well, I'm an elderly person, so, and my husband's even older than me. So I said, we're very worried, and we've bought food. And so she let me through.
And what did you see?
I saw the big tents, and my orders of homeless people saw me straight away when I was riding up the hill. So they all ran to the fence, screaming, shouting, crying, and then became the tricky bit, because to try and video this off a cell phone, we had to keep stopping the video footage because law enforcement were around there. But I'm very disturbed at the fact that they have no mattresses, that there's no social distancing, that there's no loo paper. They have a person in charge of their tent that was there when they got there and hasn't been seen since. So they've got nobody to air their grievances with.
Just
another.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just horrendous. This whole thing was a hell of a shock to me. I was walking into, I was going back in history, you know, walking into a concentration camp.
Yeah.
The dunes behind their tent are just filled with private security that are on those dunes, watching for anybody trying to break free.
Oh, my word. Okay, so hang on. They are, and it's actually like a lockup, actually.
It's a complete lockup with private security surrounding the outside of the camp.
Why is private security even involved?
Well, I don't know. I think J.P. Smith hired private security.
We'll have to find out.
Yeah. When they actually got there, there were, as I said, no screening, but they took a picture of each person and allocated a number and a picture and were told that they would be there for a very long time. And when they asked why were they taking a picture of them, they said, in case you escape, so we can come after you and find you.
Okay, I mean, this is hardly humanitarian in any stretch of the imagination.
This is a complete, it's a shocker. Human rights people have to get involved in
this. I think you may have a point here. So just help me understand here, Tony. Who takes ownership of this particular location? Because you were saying they won't let SAPS in. Is it law enforcement that's taking ownership?
Law enforcement.
So in other words, this is a Cape Town, Western Cape run.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, the law enforcement's been under a lot of pressure from some of the privileged areas to get the
Aren't they always?
Yeah. So I think this was an idea to sort of put them all there. At one stage, I heard numbers were being branded around 4,000, this 1,000, and however many thousand.
Is that the target they're going for? Is that the number that you saw?
Well, I think that was what they had planned before everybody started to have a bit of an outcry about this. Why would they stop letting the SAPS guys in front of me yesterday had four guys from Steenberg area. Yes. They wouldn't let them drop them off. They told them to take them back.
Okay.
So there seems to be pressures being put on and no more people are being taken there. But I don't know if there's enough food. They talk about all these NGOs that are feeding people. But they also spoke about 35 NGOs that are helping them with the safe space.
Okay.
And yet, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Tony, we're going to have to look into this, take it up. You've mentioned J.P. Smith. We'll give an opportunity to respond. This is quite very frightening. This is very much what you're describing is very concentration camp-like. We unfortunately are out of time, Tony, but we are obviously always in touch with you and we'll come back to you. Just so you know,
somebody has
sent us a message, Clarissa, saying, I've had the pleasure of meeting Tony through her work. She does such amazing work and doesn't just care for the homeless, but the animals as well. She has taken in one of the homeless ladies' dogs called Tinkerbell and is looking after her in her home while her owners are in the camp. Thank you for your kind. So there we go. People are very much noticing what you do. Thank you, Tony.